It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charlstrom will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
The annual California Agricultural Statistics Review has been released and is available on the website at cdfa.ca.gov/statistics/. This publication provides comprehensive data and information on California's diverse agricultural economy for the 2021 crop year, including agricultural exports and organic production. In 2021, California's farms, ranches, and plant nurseries received $51.1 billion in cash receipts for their output. This represents a 3.6% increase compared to the previous year. Over a third of the country's vegetables and two-thirds of the country's fruits and nuts are grown in California. California's top 10 value commodities for the 2021 crop year are as follows: milk and cream at $7.75 billion, grapes valued at $5.23 billion, almonds $5.03 billion, cattle and calves $3.1 billion, strawberries came in at $3 billion, pistachios valued at $2.9 billion, lettuce at $2 billion, tomatoes $1.18 billion, walnuts $1.02 billion, and rice at $1 billion. California organic product sales totaled $14 billion in 2021. That's an increase of 16.4% from the prior year. Organic production encompasses over 2.13 million acres in the state. California is the only state in the U.S. with a NOP-authorized state organic program. California agricultural exports totaled $22.5 billion in 2021, an increase of 7% from 2020. Top commodities for export included almonds, dairy and dairy products, pistachios, wine, and walnuts. A comprehensive report for the 2022 crop year will be assembled later in 2023. Again, this information can be found at cdfa.ca.gov/statistics/. Despite the continuing war between Russia and the Ukraine, major seed producers in California are not turning their backs on farmers in the Black Sea region. Both countries remain destinations for California-grown seeds, even as Ukrainian growers face considerable difficulty amid the conflict. That means state farmers are continuing to produce seeds for growers there, including sunflowers, which remain a major crop in both Ukraine and Russia. Nearly all sunflowers grown commercially in California are harvested as certified seed used by other farmers. NutraRipe's California Organic Blueberry Program has begun with light volumes, and the company anticipates a strong crop year. They are expecting a great crop of organic blueberries out of California this season, according to Brian Vertrees, NutraRipe's Director of Business Development. Last year, there were pollination issues that held the crop back from its full potential, so this season they are expecting a nice rebound, assuming Mother Nature continues to cooperate with them. He says they will hit promotable volumes out of California this season, the first week of May, and will continue into the first week of June. In addition to its California program, NutraRipe also offers domestic organic blueberries from Florida, Georgia, Oregon, Washington, and Michigan. Vertrees says NutraRipe's California organic blueberry farms are located throughout the Central Valley. The combination of locations they have allows them to maximize the potential of the California growing season for organic blueberries. Vertrees said that sales of organic blueberries are up double digits over last year in both the southeast and western regions of the U.S. These regions tend to be where organic purchases are typically the highest, so it's not so much as a trend as it is a reflection of how consumers in those markets have shopped for many years. He says it is a combination of lifestyle and retailers' breadth and depth of assortment. Equitable Food Initiative and Measure to Improve announced the successful completion of the two-year produce and reduced pilot program, which was implemented on three farming operations and funded by the California Workforce Development Board. The group reported reductions of CO2 emissions during the pilot, equivalent of 1 million miles driven by an average gasoline-powered vehicle, and hopes this provides an example to be learned and replicated throughout the industry. Measure to Improve, a leading sustainability consultant in the fresh produce industry, worked closely with EFI, a workforce development and certification organization, and the farming operations to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by implementing new waste reduction efforts. The participating EFI certified operations each created a green team to assess current levels of waste, identify areas for improvement, and implement training, education, and other efforts to increase waste diversion from landfill. At the beginning of the month, EFI and Measure to Improve hosted a collaborative roundtable of 50 attendees, including workers and managers from the participating farms, local waste management representatives, and local officials. Each of the three participating farms saw impressive reduction in amounts and types of waste and implemented revenue-positive recycling efforts. Initial results presented at the event highlighted that 144 tons of waste material were diverted from the landfill and 435 metric tons of carbon dioxide were saved. The program shows that sustainability efforts are most effective when a holistic approach is taken, when management is committed, and when workers at all levels know and understand the environmental impact of their actions, according to Kirian Ficken, Director of Sustainability Programs for Measure to Improve. She says that they are incredibly pleased with the results and are looking forward to sharing a full case study soon. Equitable Food Initiative is a nonprofit certification and skill-building organization that seeks to increase transparency in the food supply chain and improve the lives of farm workers through a team-based approach to training and continuous improvement practices. EFI brings together growers, farm workers, retailers, and consumers to solve the most pressing issues facing the fresh produce industry. For more information, log on to equitablefood.org. In comments submitted to the California Air Resources Board on potential changes to the state's low-carbon fuel standard, the Renewable Fuels Association identified several areas in CARB's proposal and underlying analysis that need improvement. RFA also stressed its support for the LCFS program and desire to see technology-neutral carbon reduction programs adopted in other states or at the national level. RFA Chief Economist Scott Richmond stressed three areas where improvement is needed. CARB has all the data needed to support the immediate approval of E15 for use in California, which would reduce pervasive compliance defects in California's gasoline pool. Migrating all E10 to E15 in California today would result in approximately 2 million metric tons annually of additional GHG reductions. Although the California transportation supply model used by CARB incorporates the average carbon intensity of ethanol in the market today and assumes that CI improvements will continue in the future, it assumes that the CI of ethanol produced at facilities using carbon capture and sequestration will be flat over time. Richmond stressed that on the contrary, it is reasonable to expect substantial reductions in the CI of ethanol broadly, and that ethanol with CCS in particular is likely to achieve steady reduction and ultimately net zero emissions over the next two decades. Finally, the current low credit prices under the LCFS are clearly inhibiting new investment in low-carbon fuel production. The long period of time, up to 3 years, to update the LCFS, given a regulatory process in California, is creating uncertainty as to the longer-term trajectory of the program and the incorporation of a compliance acceleration mechanism into the LCFS that could potentially address this problem. An accurate modeling of ethanol's benefits and integration of CARB Fuels policy to incentivize higher ethanol blends will result in immediate reductions of GHG emissions and criteria pollutants while lowering the cost of compliance to obligated parties and California consumers, according to Richmond. And he says RFA looks forward to working with CARB staff and other stakeholders to strengthen and extend the successful LCFS program.
The 2023 Citrus Showcase, put on by California Citrus Mutual in collaboration with JCS Marketing Incorporated and My Ag Life, was nothing short of a success with attendees and exhibitors. The showcase, held in Visalia, California on March 9th, boasted its largest attendance to date, offering the over 1,000 registered growers, consultants, and industry professionals an expanded agenda that included more educational and networking opportunities than ever before. California Citrus Mutual President and CEO Casey Creamer said, quote, "We've heard a lot of positive feedback that this was the best show yet," end quote. In total, the showcase saw an abundance of approved CEU credits, research updates, an industry luncheon, panel discussions, a trade show, and an industry mixer. Starting at 7 a.m. was registration and an hour of trade show time in the exhibitor hall, where attendees poured in for coffee and early networking with over 120 companies and organizations offering solutions to the citrus industry. At 8 a.m., attendees had the opportunity to choose between the State of the Citrus Market panel or Key Integrated Pest Management, or IPM, talks in the CEU room, which offered a total of 4.0 DPR, 5.0 CCA, and 0.5 CDFA INMP credits on the day. Industry leaders on the State of the Citrus Market panel included Al Bates, president at Sun Pacific Shippers, Tracy Jones, COO at Booth Ranches, Jim Phillips, president at Sunkist Growers, and Zach Lafitte, president at Wonderful Citrus. Morning IPM talks were given by University of California researchers and included topics on thrips, California red scale, Phytophthora, ants, and more. Noon brought the sold-out industry luncheon, which featured keynote speaker Greg Dowd, former chief agricultural negotiator for the United States Trade Representative. Dowd spoke to citrus industry members on the current geopolitical landscape as it relates to ag trade, the war in Ukraine, global economics, and the future of trade policy. Those that did not attend the industry luncheon had the opportunity to support local FFA members through a burrito fundraiser. After lunch, attendees were once again given the choice to head back to the CEU room for more seminars or listen in on the Citrus Water panel. The panel included multiple perspectives on water use in the citrus industry from Jason Phillips, CEO at Friant Water Authority, John Parker, General Manager at Kern Water Bank, Joe Del Bosque, farmer and former California Water Commission member, and Tim Quinn, former executive director at ACWA and Metropolitan Water District Deputy General Manager. Afternoon CEU seminars included nutrition and organic citrus information. The showcase concluded with an industry mixer event that provided additional networking opportunities. Creamer also said, quote, "The educational opportunities were informative and high caliber, and the trade show floor was the place to be for networking within the citrus industry. We were excited to bring back our first full show since the COVID-19 shutdowns and are even more excited about making next year's show even better," end quote. In a quote from Jason Scott, JCS Marketing Incorporated CEO, "It was a real honor to be part of this growing legacy conference held by the citrus industry. This year's growth shows the continued interest and support from the ag community for citrus. If you were not present, you missed out on a great event. Plan to attend next year and be part of this amazing celebration of ag leadership," end quote. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante. Imagination. Innovation. Science in action.
Today is National Ag Day, and American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says today is a chance to celebrate agriculture.
National Ag Day is a celebration of the food and fiber community and has been taking place since 1973. This is the 50th anniversary of Ag Day.
Duvall says it's important to celebrate today as it promotes the work of farmers and ranchers to consumers.
Ag Day is an awesome opportunity to celebrate everything that we as farmers and ranchers do and reflect on how fortunate we are to go to work each and every day in the fields, barns, and pastures on our farms. It's also an opportunity to talk to our consumers about agriculture, to get outside our fence rows and share the story of the vital role that agriculture plays in our society.
Once again, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall. For more information, log on to agday.org. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack told the Senate Agriculture Committee hearing last week that despite 2 years of record high farm incomes, almost half of U.S. farmers lost money.
The last 2 years of farm income were, in fact, a record set of years. nearly 50% of our farmers did not make any money at all in those record years. In fact, they lost money. Another almost 40% of our farmers made money, but the majority of money they made came from off-farm income. So in record years, nearly 90% of our producers either didn't make any money or did not make the majority of the money that they need to represent their families. We have got to figure out how we can create more revenue streams for farmers, particularly those small and mid-sized producers. We've got to figure out ways in which we can extend beyond the traditional role of farmers benefiting from the sale of crops and livestock to figure out additional ways in which that farmstead can generate profit so that they have multiple streams.
He also told hearing members that the next farm bill should focus not just on traditional programs for large farmers, and also says that agricultural disaster programs need more built-in flexibility. Seeking to end Roundup cancer claims across the country, Bayer argued in a brief filed in a federal appeals court last week that federal law preempts state laws when determining whether product warning labels are necessary. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit has agreed to an en banc hearing on a case involving a Georgia resident by the name of John Carson. Carson alleged Bayer has a duty to provide warning labels of glyphosate-based Roundup's alleged cancer-causing properties under Georgia law. Carson was diagnosed with cancer in 2016, alleging in a lawsuit his use of Roundup for 30 years was to blame. An en banc hearing is before all the judges in the circuit. On December 19th of 2022, the full 11th Circuit granted Bayer's en banc petition and vacated a three-judge panel decision of the 11th Circuit. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, glyphosate, the world's most widely used herbicide, does not cause cancer, Bayer said in the 11th Circuit last week. It is the formal conclusion of an expert agency exercising congressional delegated authority. Plaintiffs nonetheless maintain that a jury applying state law can hold Monsanto liable for failing to provide a cancer warning that EPA determined is not required and indeed is prohibited under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. Congress enacted a preemption provision that bars this claim. Bayer has argued the case would be dismissed because such a warning label would be inconsistent with the label approved by EPA. The agency says it has found no cancer connection with Roundup. Bayer contends it could not comply with both state and federal law at the same time. Oral arguments are scheduled for June in Atlanta. The Carson case is notable because it is the second case now under consideration by a federal appeals court on preemption grounds.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.